They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Bench Warmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you happen to be listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to spend it with us. We are going to make it worth your while. This is season 2, episode number 21, our 71st show overall. So we're getting up there to that century mark. We're climbing up the ladder. You can go back and listen to all of our previous shows if you want to hear kind of our progression and some historical sports context to see where we've come from. You can go find those on iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts. We're on the newly formed Anchor, which is by Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, and Breaker.audio. So all over the place. Google Podcasts is the newest one. We were off, we were on, and we're back again. So happy to be back. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter, or go to thebenchwarmers.com for all things show related. Please, and I will only do this one time, please subscribe, rate, review. We need all the support we can get. We're trying to make our way up the ranks, and there's a lot of competition out there, and we try to make the show the very best we can, so we would appreciate some feedback one way or the other. Big show this week. We have coming up in a little while. We have to make our week 3 picks already, so we're moving right along through the season. We're going to bring back our favorite game, Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break, which is our true-false segment. Jose and I will each make a series of statements, and we will either agree or disagree with those. A bunch of injuries, news, and notes coming up in a bit. A lot of Tyrod Taylor, Tua, DeMarcus Lawrence. We'll get to all those in just a minute. But first, we're going to start with the top 3 NFL storylines for week 2, according to Jose and myself, because we're in charge of the show. So this is what we decide. First off, Jose, this was a wild week in football. I have to tell you right out of the gate, it's not in our top 3 storylines, but the Cowboys, I have to tip my hat to them. I've been very disparaging in my comments. I've been, I'd say disdain is a good word for my lack of allegiance at this point, but they did well. So I just want to give them a little tip of the hat and just say, you know what? I was pleasantly surprised for a change, which is rare.
Yeah, I was watching the game and thinking about you the entire time. I was just, I'm wondering. I was like, every time it was a bad play, I was up. There's Lou Kersnet, Zeke right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they finally got the win. I wondered, do you just breathe a sigh of relief at that point? Or do you actually cheer? Like, what goes through your mind when there's a win?
So I grew up a Cowboys fan, for some backstory. Jose grew up a 49ers fan. I think you got into football a little bit before I did. And then once I got into football, the Cowboys were all the rage. And I jumped right on that bandwagon as a kid because I love their jerseys. And looking back, I was a Yankees fan before I was anything. And I saw the Cowboys and I was like, oh, they have the same colors as the Yankees. I'll like them. You know, I did before I realized living in New Jersey and rooting for Dallas was anathema. So by then I was too stubborn and dug in. I was like, screw this, I'm sticking with them. Either way, it's, you know, with the Cowboys, it's just been 25 years of pain. So it's kind of like, we were talking off the air, it's like I said before, where it feels like having been cheated on in a bunch of relationships, and you just, it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not trusting you until you prove that you're trustworthy. I'm not falling for this again. You know, it feels like the same old, same old. Don't tell me about it. Show me it, you know? So we'll see. I think the Chargers, I think there was a very, very eerily similar setup to their rosters. I think they're very similarly equipped in different ways. But I think that as far as a talent level, I think both sides are pretty good. And Justin Herbert is amazing, by the way. I mean, I know he's still young, but just some of the throws that he made were incredible. And I think that with Dallas, the two best offensive players on the entire Cowboys roster are Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, because each one of them took turns, and I've never seen Joey Bosa just get stymied at the line and just thrown around like a rag doll, and Zach Martin just put him to shame over and over again. So Dak gets all the money. Zeke used to be good or whatever. CeeDee Lamb looks great. But those two guys deserve offensive players of the week.
I mean, they're probably both going into the Hall of Fame, so I think they're going to get what they do. But I will say that I did not – I mean, I know this is not one of our top three, so we'll just move up. But I'll just quickly say I did not come away as impressed with Justin Herbert watching the Dallas game. I thought those the interceptions he threw were just bad decisions, bad throws. Like, I'm not saying he looked bad. I wasn't like, oh my God, he's amazing. And I think that's what people seem to think about him.
Yeah, his decision making is still young, but some of his back shoulder throws are just silly. Like, it's just stupid. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see as the season goes on how the defenses react to him. But all right, so that was kind of our bonus top story for the week. Wanted to start there because I felt compelled to at least make amends where I've been very disparaging. So 2-0 teams. There's a couple two. Our first story: surprise 2-0 teams. Which one of these? Out of the three? So there's seven teams overall. There's Rams, Niners, Cardinals, Bucks, Raiders, Broncos, Carolina. But focusing more on the Raiders, Broncos, and Carolina because they're the surprising ones. I don't think anybody's surprised that the Rams or the Cardinals or the Bucks are 2-0. Out of the Raiders, Broncos, and Carolina, which one of those teams is the most surprising at 2-0?
Well, I think it has to be the Raiders just because of the fact that they beat the Ravens and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks. Derek Carr is leading the NFL in passing yards. I think both of us, not to be patting ourselves on the back, but both of us kind of we're looking at the Carolina Panthers this offseason as a team that could really take a jump. And so I'm not overly surprised. I mean, I am surprised at how lopsided the game was against the Saints. Yep. But I'm not surprised that they're 2-0. And, the Broncos, listen, Teddy Touchdowns has been playing really well so far. So they're close to the Raiders. But I think just based on the quality of competition, it's got to be the Raiders.
I think it's the Broncos, and I don't think it's particularly close, honestly, because like we said, Carolina, I mean, their defense is going to just keep getting better and better, and that's scary because they're already pretty good. And sans for the fact that they're in the division with the defending world champions, I mean, that they could really challenge in most other divisions, I would think. And the Raiders, I'm not surprised by the Raiders, honestly. I'm a little surprised.
The Ravens and the Steelers?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. Okay. Especially with the ways that they've won going into overtime and things like that. But the Broncos are shocking to me. The Broncos with, Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, I just don't think that Teddy Bridgewater was ever really that great. But I guess he's just consistent enough and good enough as compared to Drew Lock to utilize more of that talent on that team, even without Jerry Jeudy this week. I mean, they looked pretty good, and their defense too is pretty incredible. So I'm far more surprised because the Raiders always start off hot. Feels like every year they start hot, and then
the Broncos beat the Giants and the Jaguars.
But so, I didn't think that even that
the Jaguars that surprised. Okay. I guess you thought they were going to be really bad.
The wins are more surprising. I mean, strength of victory, I guess, if you want to weigh it that way. The Raiders are more impressive. But I'm more surprised that the Broncos are 2-0.
Fair enough.
So, and then out of the remaining, I mean, the expectations, the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Bucks. I mean, first of all, three teams in the NFC West are 2-0. That's insanity.
Really should be four teams. I can't believe Seattle blew that game. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are the Bucks. The ageless wonder. I have to just pat myself on the back because I thought Tom Brady was going to have a pretty good year, and so far, I'm right.
Yeah, big bet, big gamble by you there.
No, but I thought that he's going to have a career year. I just have a feeling he's going to be going after a lot of Peyton Manning single season records with that team.
He had 9 touchdowns to start the year so far. So,
out of those four teams, who do you think is the best or most impressive? Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, Buccaneers. In the 2 week sample size we have,
I'm going with the Bucks. Yeah, they just. And I know the Falcons are just a dumpster fire, terrible. They're just awful. But like the Bucks, just it's like, I don't even know what you're going to do. Like, it's just, they just, there's so many ways for them to score on offense, and then their defense is just good enough. They'll have little lapses here and there where, you know, you can score some points on them and through the air, but you're not running the football against them at all.
Yeah.
And they're just, I just don't know. I don't know the formula to beat them right now.
Yeah, I think it's the Bucs too. I think the Rams are a close second.
Yep.
And, you know, I am a Tom Brady fan. I mean, you have to, Tom Brady at this point is like Michael Jordan to me. Just, even if you don't like him, you still have to respect him.
Yep.
But the Rams, I am rooting for Matt Stafford. I think he's earned his right to be a champion, or at least get a lot closer than he has. But yeah, the Bucs, I mean, offensively, they're just, it's just silly. And then defensively, I mean, and Ndamukong Suh, JPP, they have so many talented players on that defensive front that they're just, it's, there's no, that would their defense score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter? Like, it's, you can't, there's no way to win. Like, you have to play your absolute best football for every minute of that game to even have a chance.
Yeah, and it's, and guess what? We get to see the Rams against the Buccaneers this week coming up. I cannot wait for that
locked
game.
Locked in my house. No one is going to talk to me. I've been at phones off. I'm watching that game in.
I think if there was a way to. See, the thing is, they're so good against running the football, so it's just, it's hard to really slow the game down against them because they just stop the run, so you're kind of forced to throw, and a lot of times in third and not good distance, so. Yeah, I don't really know what the formula is right now, other than, hey, maybe later in the season some of these guys get a little tired out or something like that.
And Lavonte David might be one of the most underrated players in the league. He's just all over the place. As far as the other side of the coin, so our second top story of the week, on the opposing end of that, there's some 0-2 teams that might be some time to worry about. Now, the Lions, Jets, and Jaguars, I don't think anybody's really surprised that they're 0-2, so we'll kind of just leave them by the wayside. But Minnesota, the Giants, the Falcons, and the Colts are all 0-2. Out of those four teams, which one's the most surprising, and which team should have the most to worry about moving forward?
I think the Minnesota Vikings is probably the most surprising. They lost to the Bengals the week before. That's a game that I think most people would have had them pegged to win. And then you turn around this week and you lose to the Cardinals by one after kind of getting out to an early lead. That I just feel like I would have expected them to be 1-1. I'm not saying I thought they would be 2-0 or anything. I would have thought that they would have gotten the Bengals game and then maybe lost this game. I'm not surprised at the Giants being 0-2. I could see them maybe have sneaking a win. They probably should have beat the Washington football team this past week. But, the Colts, I would say I'm the most worried about the Colts. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's just, I don't even know why I put, when I sent this to you, I questioned why I even put Atlanta on this list because they shouldn't, like, they're terrible. They're just so bad. Like, it's going to be a long, long season in Atlanta, but Indianapolis, you know, all we heard this offseason was how much of an upgrade Wentz was going to be over Phillip Rivers and yeah, how good he was going to be behind this offensive line and all this other stuff. And through 2 weeks, he has not really been anything special, and the Colts haven't been anything special. Even outside of Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor hasn't been special. No one on that team has really been special. And now with Carson Wentz battling dual ankle injuries that happened on the same play. I don't know how you sprain two ankles on the same play, but that's what happened. And I would be really worried about Indianapolis, especially now you have to face the Titans this coming week. No bueno.
Yeah, the Colts, I mean, I would be worried about the Colts, but they've had a bad pull. I mean, the Seahawks to open the season, that's rough. You know, the Rams look like they're
that's fair.
Damn near unbeatable. And yeah, the Titans coming up. I mean, they've had a rough. It's not quite murderer's row, but it's pretty close. But what worries me is just what you said, Carson Wentz. You know, he's turning back into Mr. Glass. You know, it's just 2 weeks in, and he's sprained both ankles. I mean, it just sounds ridiculous. Atlanta, I expected to be better, although not good. So yeah, I'm not surprised with them either. Minnesota, I don't know what I expected out of Minnesota, because they have a good offense for the most part. You know, they're Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook, obviously. You know, but Kirk Cousins is still Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's good. He can be at times very good, and that's about it. And on defense, I mean, Danielle Hunter is a monster, by the way. They missed him like crazy. I mean, it's amazing how one guy can change an entire defense, because last year they were deplorable, and this year they're starting to step it up. But I think the Giants are the ones that surprised me the most, because they've had two winnable games. You know, the Broncos we see are 2-0, and their defense is pretty stout. But, I mean, that was in MetLife Stadium. They were home, and to Washington football team, I mean, they by all accounts should have won that game, and so it feels like there's no synergy. I feel like they're just a bunch of disparate parts, and you know, Daniel Jones can't be the leading rusher on your team with a healthy Saquon Barkley. So Darius Slayton's the only guy making catches. You know, it's Kenny Galladay's yelling at people on the sideline. I don't know. Evan Ingram dead again. You know, let's just write him off forever. He's just a lost cause at this point. I feel like every year he's another Lucy with the football, where I think, all right, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be crazy. You know, he's going to be the next, I don't even know who.
Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, sure. But you know, he has a talent. He looks like, he looks like Vernon Davis is who he reminds me of. If he's healthy, is kind of that. He's got speed, strength, power, you know, blocking. It's all there. He just can't. He's like the Carson Wentz of tight ends. He just can't stay healthy. So I think they're the most surprising. So thirdly, our third story, I don't know if thirdly is a word. Our third story, top news story of the week, Lamar Jackson in probably the best game of the week. He exercises. I'm going to say this, Jose. You wrote in our show notes that he exercised his Kansas City demons with his performance on Sunday night, and I have to say that I don't know that I entirely agree with that. I think it is a story, because obviously a win's a win, but that game felt like, you know, barring the last minute fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it felt like if Patrick Mahomes got his hands on that ball, that game was going to go flip the other way again. So it was a good win. You know, I think that it still counts as, you know, a Lamar Jackson win over Patrick Mahomes, but I'm not sure I see it the same way you do.
Well, you know, exercise is maybe too strong of a verb. You know, it's, I actually have a little note here that I say he'll officially be exercised the demons if he beats them in the playoffs.
Yes, I agree.
But, you know, I think I think also when you consider the way the game started, right? He throws two interceptions at the top, right? I think in both in the first quarter, all of a sudden it's just like, oh, here we go again. I just, you know, same old story. And they looked like they had no chance to win that game. And the best player on the field on Sunday Night Football was Lamar Jackson. He just said, you know what? I'm just going to start running, guys, and no one can catch me. And he was right. And everyone knew he was going to run, and it didn't matter. And he, Hollywood Brown, is starting to look like a player that finally has a connection with Lamar Jackson. Like, yes, you're right. There were some things that bounced in Baltimore's favor, but that's what happens in the NFL. Sometimes things bounce your way, sometimes things don't. Winning by one score is the norm, not the exception. So yes, would it have been better if he had won, you know, more convincingly? Absolutely. But I don't think you can really expect to beat Kansas City in convincing fashion almost under any circumstance. Like, if you're gonna beat Kansas City, it's probably gonna be by one score, and you're gonna have to live with that. And I thought he really elevated himself at the end of the game. It does not to say that, look, they have to get better on offense. Their passing game has to improve. But this was a really promising performance, I thought, for Lamar Jackson, just the way he bounced back from that early adversity in the game.
Yeah, and watching Honey Badger get two interceptions and an interception return for a touchdown was crazy to see. And yeah, you're right. The resiliency that Lamar Jackson showed, that little Tim Tebow-esque jump pass that he did was to I think it was to Holly. Yeah, it was to Hollywood Brown. I mean, that was incredible. I was just, I mean, to do that, to be in the air. I think even Chris Collinsworth said it. He's like, "Do you know how hard that is?" I mean, he threw it was like a 30-yard pass he threw in the air. No base, you know, no footing, no nothing, just jumping and throwing. So that was pretty impressive. And I will say, the Ravens defense locked down Tyreek Hill. Locked down. He had 3 receptions for 14 yards, and he had 1 rush for 15 yards. And aside from that, he was non-existent. I mean, they still couldn't keep a lid on Travis Kelce.
Who you have to pick your poison with that. You know, they doubled and triple teamed him, like Tyreek Hill. You're Patrick Mahomes. You're like, listen, I just can't throw to you, man. I got to go to Travis Kelce. And I think if there's something else that this game exposed to me is that Kansas City is in desperate need of a third option on offense.
Yeah.
They thought that was going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it doesn't seem like that's working out so far.
Yeah, and Mecole Hardman looks like he's got potential, but it's not quite there yet. I mean, it's nice to see Jerick McKinnon playing. I mean, he looks like if he could get some kind of role there, he might be useful. But I mean, I think that goes double for the Ravens because,
yeah,
I mean, you said Marquise Brown looks good, you know, and he certainly looked great in this game, but he strikes me as a great second option. You know, I think I don't know who you get or who you can get, but I know Sammy Watkins is not the answer. I know Mark Andrews can't be your number one wide receiver at tight end. So, and Lamar Jackson can't play receiver. I mean, he could, but he can't throw it and catch it at the same time. So it just feels like they need something else on offense to make them really, really that much more dangerous.
And that could be with Rashad Bateman, you know, their first round pick from this last year. He's on IR and he comes back. I think I'm not sure about like what, you know, number one, number two receiver. I think they need a pure possession receiver. I don't know if that's Rashad Bateman or not, but I think that's not Hollywood's game, right? He's stretched the field,
yes,
you know, deep passes, slants, so he can go and you know, use his speed. They need a guy who can just go out and, you know, get kind of 10 to 15 yard catches and just kind of move the chains. Kind of what Mark Andrews is supposed to do, but they haven't really been hooking up that much recently over the first 2 weeks.
I mean, keeping in the Ravens theme, they need the modern day Anquan Boldin is what they need. That's.
I feel like every team needs Anquan Boldin in Florida.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, Dez Bryant maybe if he could still play. I mean, he would be. I feel like he could fit that Anquan Boldin role now because he's not. You know, he's older, but he's a bigger guy who can block and certainly body people to get a jump ball or two. But who knows? I mean, the Ravens are pretty good at drafting and rostering, so maybe they know. They obviously know better than we do. But all right, so those are our top 3.5 stories, if you include the Cowboys to begin with. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a little while. We have to make our Week 3 picks. We're playing Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break, which is our true-false segment game, whatever you want to call it. And coming up next, we have a bunch of injuries, news, and notes, and we're going to play the extra point, which is where we go around the entire league and kind of give a quick recap of each and every game so your team will not be left out. So stick around. There's that and more coming up right after this on the Benchwarmers Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a cloth face covering to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Welcome back to the Benchwarmers Podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now, back to the action. Or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is still the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow us along iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts. We're on Radio Public and Breaker.audio. can also follow us along on social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter, or go to thebenchwarmers.com and follow the show that way. Shows moved right along. We touched on our top three news stories of the week, the 2-0 teams, the 0-2 teams, and the big Lamar Jackson comeback win over the Chiefs. In a little bit, we're going to make our week three picks. We're going to play Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break, which is our true-false segment where Jose and myself make a series of statements, and we either basically agree or disagree by saying, make no mistake, that's true, or give me a break, that's ridiculous. We just shorten that up a little bit. But now it's time for some injury news and notes, and we have to go through our extra point, which is our kind of around the world, around the league, I guess, not necessarily the world, but around the league. We go through each and every game and kind of give a quick synopsis of our thoughts on that game so no one gets left behind. Jose, we'll go through these. I mean, there's a lot of injuries week two. You know, the NFL is a league of attrition, so it's starting early this year, it seems like. First and foremost, Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback for the Dolphins, he suffered a rib injury. He's kind of day-to-day. He had an MRI on Monday. If he can't go, if they decide he can't go in week three, Jacoby Brissett is going to be starting for them. How on a let's do a worryometer. Can we do that on a scale of 1 to 5?
Okay.
1 being not worried at all, 5 being I am in a full-blown panic. If you're the Dolphins, what's your?
Well, probably a 3. You know, Tua's not the greatest quarterback anyway, in my opinion. But you know, the fact that you have to rely on Jacoby Brissett, that's never good in a year where you're probably expecting to contend for the playoffs. You don't want to be giving up weeks here and there. So I probably would err on the side of having him be healthy, missing a game so he could be healthy.
Yeah, I think a 3 is about right. They're facing the Raiders next week, and I mean the Raiders seem like they're surging, but that defense is going to have to step up, and you know, Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, excuse me. Those guys are going to have to step up, and they probably will. So I would agree a 3. Carson Wentz, Mr. Glass, twisted both ankles by a hit from Aaron Donald, and it looks like he's going to be out a bit. Jacob Eason is their backup unless they happen to go out and sign someone like, I don't know, Nick Foles to fill in for Carson Wentz. What's your worry scale, worryometer for Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts, 1 to 5?
Well, I'm a 5 on this, and it's not just because of Carson Wentz. It is mostly because of Carson Wentz, but they already didn't look that great with him out there. Now you're going to be with Jacob Eason for, I imagine, at least a week, probably 2 to 3. I would be very, very worried about this turning into a lost season if I'm in the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, I think you trade quite a bit to get Carson Wentz there. You know, you have Frank Reich there. You think that this is the answer over the retired Philip Rivers. And here we are again. You know, it felt like, you know, this could be the resurgence. This could be like the, you know, kind of a Kurt Warner story for Carson Wentz to come back and really prove himself. And looks like we're right back where we started. And they don't have an easy game anytime soon. The next 3 games they have are against they're at the Titans, at the Dolphins, and at the Ravens. And then they get the Texans, who don't even look like they're a pushover either. And then it just kind of gets worse from there. So I'm with you. I think a 5. I think it's not just the injury itself, but it's the kind of foreboding feeling that surrounds Carson Wentz and injuries that it just...
You know, basically what you just said there, they could be 5 games in and looking at falling to 0-6 unless they beat the Texans. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, even in a 17-game season, that's not going to get you too far. Andy Dalton suffered a knee injury. Bears won.
My worry is like a 0.5 here. I'm not, you know, Andy Dalton is not a difference-making quarterback, in my opinion. Maybe Justin Fields is not quite ready. If I'm Matt Nagy, I throw Justin Fields out there and never look back.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a one only because that's as low as the scale goes.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You know, if I'm the Bears, I'm like, oh, good. All right, perfect. We don't have to, you know, we promised Andy Dalton was going to start. You know, we gave him the contract, told him he was going to be the starter. He was. He got hurt, so it's nothing we did. All we're doing is trying to win football games, and he can't play, so somebody has to. Let's throw in our first-round draft pick, who everyone is clamoring for anyway, and see what the kid can do. And it's just setting up to be a, you know, somewhat low-level sort of Tom Brady moment for Justin Fields, where it's, you know, the injury to the starter, and then he comes in and then never relinquishes that title ever again. And so, yeah, I'm not worried, even in the slightest. Tyrod Taylor for the Texans. He's ruled out this week. It looks like rookie Davis Mills. I don't know anything about Davis Mills. I think he went to Stanford. That's about it. If you're the Texans, I mean, Texans are 1-1, which is, you know, one more win than I think we were anticipating already. So
yeah.
How worried are you on a scale of 1 to 5?
That's a one. This is anything that you achieve this year as a Texans is house money. This doesn't matter at all.
I would go 2. It's a hamstring injury. So, I mean, Tyrod Taylor's not immobile, but he's not exactly the most mobile. So it's not something that he can't bounce back from. And yeah, like you said, it feels like they're just kind of, they have nothing to lose.
Yep.
Really.
If they win 5 games this year, we'll be like, wow, look at how they won 5 games. It's all
about perspective, yeah.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook was in and out of the game this week. We saw a lot of Madison throughout that game. I think he sprained his ankle, then he came back, but then it seems like he's kind of, there's a question mark hovering over him. They match up against the Seahawks this week, so how worried are you if you're Minnesota Vikings with Dalvin Cook?
About a 3, I would say. You want him to be 100% healthy. I think it's unrealistic that any player at this stage in their career would ever actually be 100% healthy, but that's really what you want. You just want him to be healthy, and if there's any sort of question mark surrounding him, surrounding your best offensive player, you're going to be worried.
Yeah, I think a 3 is about right. I think if it was something more soft tissue related, like a groin injury or hamstring injury or something that could be nagging throughout the course of the year, or turf toe, something like that, I think it would be a little more concerning. But an ankle, I mean, you give it some rest, you tape it up, and, you know, for the most part, you're going to be okay. And we saw Alexander Mattison he did a pretty good job filling in for Dalvin Cook. He's been a pretty good backup for them for the last couple of years. So not super worried, but not exactly completely worry-free either. Another running back, Darrell Henderson, he suffered a rib injury. He missed the fourth quarter. Obviously, you know, the Rams are out of Cam Akers. They got Sony Michel. There's no definitive timeline for Henderson. It looks like he's kind of just day-to-day. So how concerned are you about Darrell Henderson?
Well, if he's going to miss time, I would say a 4 because I don't really believe in Sony Michel, although he did look decent this past week in relief. But yeah, I'm going to leave it at a 3 right now since it seems like the door is open for him to possibly play. But I, you know, a team that's going to be leading with their defense, I would be a little bit worried.
Yeah, I think 3 is right too. I hate to keep agreeing with you, but I think 3 is accurate. It's a rib injury, so as long as nothing's broken, you know, maybe he misses a week, but you know, Sony Michel can fill in for 1 week and they can survive, even though it is against the Buccaneers. I think, Jose, now is a good time to announce that I will be trying out for running back for the San Francisco 49ers.
Why? Do you hate yourself? Do you hate being healthy? do you want to get injured?
I just feel like it's my time. I have a shot. I think I can make the practice squad at least. And that is because not only we saw Raheem Mostert is now, his season is officially over, but Elijah Mitchell, who looked pretty good last week, is hurt. Their backup, Trey Sermon, is in concussion protocol. And their third string running back, Jamichael Hasty, which might be the best name aside from DeAndre Swift for a running back ever, is also hurt. What is going on with your 49ers? I mean, this is very alarming, I would think.
I So my worry level is probably just, honestly, my worry level is a 3 because it seems like anyone they put in there is going to be somewhat productive. I mean, it does seem like, from what I'm reading, Elijah Mitchell is expected to play next week, but it does seem like something's going on. I don't know if it's just their overcommitment to the run, and maybe they're getting all players who just seem to run right into the contact. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd put this at a 4, maybe a 4.5, because, I mean, your depth chart only goes so far. I mean, they're going to just start signing guys off the street, and you know, half of the free agents are already signed to the Baltimore Ravens, who are having their mirroring the 49ers in the NFC, in the AFC, with running back injuries. So, yeah, it feels like the Niners they're just snake bitten with this. It's like the Niners and then the Chargers the last couple of years. I don't know. California, is it too hot? Like, is it just too dry? What's I don't know what the problem is out there, but it seems like it's a California bug, and it's not good. Jarvis Landry. We already know that apparently Odell Beckham is just not going to play ever again. So that's exciting.
He's actually expected to play week 3.
That's what they said about weeks 1 and 2 also. And then that didn't happen. So I'll believe it when I see it. Jarvis Landry, knee injury.
That's a five to me, just because even if Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy and plays, it's hard to have a high expectations for him at this point. And they really don't have a lot of offensive weapons in the passing game outside of Kareem Hunt. So you really need Jarvis Landry out there.
Yeah, I would give it a 4, only because I expect Odell Beckham to play sometime in the near future. He might not be who he once was back, you know, in the 2014 Giants, but he at least is someone you have to pay attention to as a defensive player. But you're right. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones isn't exactly scaring people out there, and neither is Rashad Higgins. I mean, they do have Njoku and Austin Hooper, who are serviceable, but they're tight ends. You know, they're not they're not going to be world beaters. So I'd give it a 4. Let's see. Deontay Johnson. We'll do the last one here. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for Pittsburgh. He suffered a leg injury on the final play of the game. There's no updates yet, but it looks like he may miss a week or two.
I'm not worried at all. That's a 1. They have so much wide receiver depth on that team. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, I would give it like a 1.5 because Juju's fine. Chase Claypool's still a beast, and they have James Washington, so I wouldn't. All right, so that's injuries for this week. It's time for the extra point, which is where we're just going to run through all of the games from week 2 and just kind of give a quick 1 or 2 sentence recap of each from our point of view. So we have a lot to get through, so we'll just run through these kind of quickly, starting on Thursday. Giants 29, Washington football team 30.
I was impressed with both Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke in this game, but I honestly feel the Giants outplayed Washington, but Washington executed better in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, my 2 takeaways are just Saquon's got to get right and start being the leading rusher for the Giants, and Taylor Heinicke looks legit. I like him. Yep. He looks like a gamer. He looks like he's got a little Brett Favre, a little Baker Mayfield. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So I think Washington's going to be okay. Patriots 25, New York football Jets 6.
Poor Mac Jones, 4 interceptions. Not sure what else to say other than hopefully there'll be better days ahead. Also, the Jets are in desperate need of an offensive playmaker.
Yeah, I think this is very simply just Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks yet again. I mean, Zach Wilson just... he didn't have a chance.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Zach Wilson, not Mac Jones. Yeah, Zach Wilson, sorry.
Not good. Not good. Broncos 23, Jaguars 13.
I think the Broncos are better than people realize, and it's nice to see Cortland Sutton healthy and looking really good, and Teddy Touchdowns is a legit starting quarterback. That's his official nickname, by the way, right now. Teddy Touchdowns.
This is the second time I'm hearing that. The first was earlier in the show when you said it the first time.
I've officially dubbed him Teddy Touchdowns.
It's a tough learning curve for Trevor Lawrence. It's his first, I believe it's his first 2 losses now in the regular season of his entire football career.
What a generational talent.
Well, I mean, the Jaguars are generationally bad, so that's, you know, it's like a stuck between a rock and a hard place. The Broncos, I think you said it, are better than we thought they were going to be. Bills 35, Dolphins goose egg. 0.
This is a statement victory by the Bills. They just went into the Dolphins' home stadium, slapped them around, said, "You don't belong on the same field with me. Get out of my face."
I don't feel quite as strongly about it because Tua did get hurt in the first quarter, and I don't necessarily think Tua is all he's cracked up to be, but I do think that he's a better option than Jacoby Brissett. But this game went pretty much how I expected it to. I mean, I didn't really expect much from the Dolphins, especially after Tua went down. So, as expected. 49ers 17, Eagles 11.
You know, a win's a win in the NFL. It's back-to-back unimpressive victories for the 49ers, though. And, yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say.
Just surprising upset, somewhat upset for the Eagles. You know, they put up a pretty good show, but maybe it just shows not necessarily that the Eagles are that good, but the Falcons are that bad after they got their butts kicked by the Eagles in week one. So, Rams 27, Colts 24.
The Colts made this game closer than I would have expected, but I don't think that the Rams offense has hit full stride yet.
Yeah, Rams are the real deal. That's it. That's the takeaway. Raiders 26, Steelers 17.
Listen, it's time to start. Giving Derek Carr, your current leader in the NFL and passing yards, some respect. It surely didn't help the Steelers that T.J. Watt left this game with a groin injury, though.
Yeah, the takeaway that I took from this is a question. Do we owe Derek Carr more respect, or is Ben Roethlisberger a year past retirement?
I think he's probably 2 years past retirement, but fair enough.
So it could be both. Bengals 17, Chicago Bears 20.
Has the Justin Fields era begun? That's really, you know, my only thought. Like, Andy Dalton got hurt, Bears still got the win. I feel like this is it. This is your time, Justin Fields. Let's go.
Yeah, this to me kind of, it felt like a bittersweet for, you know, the Andy Dalton revenge game. He beat his former team, but he also may have just Drew Bledsoe'd himself. And so we'll see how that goes. Texans 21, Browns 31.
Listen, the Browns found a way to win in the way they should have won that game. I am worried about the Browns long term if they're without Jarvis Landry for an extended period, though.
Yeah, the Texans deserve a little more respect. That's what I took away from this game. They took on a very, very good team, and they didn't lose face. They put up a respectable fight. The Saints, on the other hand, did not put up much of a fight. They scored 7 points, while the Panthers scored 26.
So just when we were all ready to go in on the Jameis Winston comeback story, an awful, awful, awful performance for the entire Saints offense. And on the other hand, another statement victory by the Panthers here. Very impressed with the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers D is getting better and better, and kind of Jameis had a relapse.
Yeah.
Saw a relapse, so we'll see if he can bounce back. Otherwise, we might be seeing Taysom Hill pretty soon. Without the Kansas City Ravens game, the Vikings and Cardinals might have been the game of the week. Vikings 33, Cardinals 34.
Kyler Murray for MVP. He's looked unstoppable. And weren't the Vikings supposed to be better on defense this year? My goodness, they've given up almost 900 yards in the first two games.
Yeah, I think that the Cardinals are doing it offensively and defensively, even though they did give up 33 points. But they're finding ways to win, even those close games are the ones that really, you know, they can turn your season one way or the other. A game that started off somewhat close, or didn't start off close, then got close, then became kind of a rout. The aforementioned terrible Falcons, 25. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 48.
I see some vulnerabilities on defense for the Buccaneers, but I'm not sure that it is going to matter because that offense is just ridiculous. Brady has 9 touchdown passes through his first two games.
Tom Brady, MVP.
Okay. All right.
Takeaway. That's it. Titans 33, Seahawks 30.
You know, I have two thoughts here. When Derrick Henry has a big game, It's a monster game. He doesn't have, like, oh, you know, 100 yards and a touchdown. He'll have, what did he have, three touchdowns this past week?
182 yards, yeah.
Yeah, he's just insane. I feel like the Seahawks find a way to take their foot off the gas on offense, and it feels like if they aren't scoring long touchdown passes, that they don't score at all. Like, it's like the only way they can score touchdowns is by these super, like, 73-yard, 65-yard, like, they just don't have the ability to just go methodically down the field, it seems.
Yeah, I think my takeaway was just that if the Titans play their game, they're going to win. You know, they got a great game out of Julio Jones, which was nice to see because I was kind of tooting his horn earlier in the preseason. And, you know, Derrick Henry. It's funny, too, because I had the thought last week that I think the one guy in the NFL that runs a lot like Derrick Henry is Chris Carson. And it just feels more, I mean, it's sort of a three-quarter scale, but just the Titans, when they play their game, they're going to win. And it's impressive. Speaking of impressive, my Dallas Cowboys 20, Chargers 17.
I think it was a surprise performance by the Dallas defense, and especially the NFL's newest shutdown corner in Trayvon Diggs. But I also just want to point out, you know, everyone was ready to anoint Justin Herbert as the next elite quarterback. Through two games, he has two touchdowns and three interceptions. Sometimes we need to slow down.
He is going to be fine. I think
he's going to be fine.
Little bit of a sophomore slump, perhaps. But Justin Herbert, if you watch some of his back shoulder throws are stupid. I mean, he's still young, so he's going to make mistakes. And I'm surprised it was against a defense like the Cowboys, but they showed up. And interesting to see. I mean, we forgot in the news and notes, DeMarcus Lawrence injured. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. I don't know if he tripped over Austin Eckler running past him a couple times or something. He's been kind of lackluster, to say the least, in the last couple seasons after he got his big contract. But that's another time, another day. I think the Cowboys finally managed to kick the football with Lucy holding it for once, and it was nice. It was nice to see very evenly matched teams, and you know the Cowboys squeak one out when they usually would kind of poop the bed. Chiefs 35, Ravens 36.
It might be the biggest win of the season for any team so far, and I just think it was an enormous hurdle for the Ravens to get over.
I think that this was, you know, while I don't know necessarily that the victory means that much, I think what it means is that it almost feels like that scene in Rocky IV when Rocky cuts Drago.
Yep.
And then the trainer guy is yelling. He's like, you see, he's not a machine. He's just a man. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I love that scene. I think this could turn out to be that moment for the Ravens where it's like, hey, just the mental hurdle of saying, you know what? These guys aren't unbeatable. We can beat them. You know, it might be close. It might be tough. We might get a little lucky. But you know what? They can go down, and we can be the ones to put them down. So we're going to circle this game, I think, later on in the season, come back to it and say, this is the point where XYZ changed in the season. Finally, Lions 17, Packers 35.
So 2 years ago, I played soccer with a 7-year-old, and I realized that there was nothing like playing sports with a 7-year-old to make you feel like you're a good athlete. And I imagine that's what it must be like to play the Lions. It was such a predictable performance in every way.
Well, that's just mean.
No offense to the 7-year-old, by the way.
It's a perfect analogy. It just feels like...
They just did anything they wanted, and now everyone's going to say Aaron Rodgers is back. It's like, yeah, the get-right game of all get-right games, yes, at home against the Lions.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure what my takeaway from this was. I almost feel like this is just sort of a, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen kind of thing. Like, it didn't really shock me, it didn't really change anything. It just felt like, all right, well, Aaron Rodgers can still play the way he's supposed to play. So they look like they're heading in the right direction finally. So that's it. That's all the games for this week. So that's the extra point. So all the games, and we got through them. We're going to take a quick break, and come back. And it's, wow, it's already time to talk week three. But, well, actually, it's not quite time to talk week three because we have to play Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break. We're going to make a couple statements and see what we agree to and what we disagree with. So stick around. It's coming up on the Benchwarmers Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers Podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
And now, back to the Benchwarmers Podcast with Lou and Jose.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Benchwarmers Podcast, Season 2, Episode 21. I'm Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. This show is flying by. We've touched on the top news stories of Week 2, some injuries, news, and notes for Week 2. We went through all of the games in our Extra Point segment and gave you a recap of each and every game. And you can go back and listen to all of that and all of our other predictions and sports-related content on iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. We're happily part of the newly formed Radio Public and Breaker.audio platforms as well. So good for us. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter, or go to thebenchwarmers.com for all things Benchwarmers. Jose, it's time. We're wrapping the show up. This has been a very quick moving show. Week three picks coming up in just a second. But first, we have to play Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break, which is sort of the closest thing we have to hot takes, I guess. It's sort of a true-false. It's kind of like a hot take and then a either slapped down or affirmed. But it just seemed easier to say Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break. So basically, I'm going to make a statement, then you're going to make a statement, and you either agree with me or you disagree, or I agree with you and you disagree with you. So I'm just going to jump out here. First one, Make No Mistake or Give Me a Break. The Raiders can challenge for the AFC West title.
I'm going to say give me a break. As much as I love what I'm seeing from the Raiders and everything it's just too early to, you know, if they were 7-0 or something, maybe we could talk about this, but we've kind of seen this early season song and dance. You talk to any Raiders fan, they're afraid to even say anything about it. Like my brother-in-law is a Raiders fan. It's like, oh, the Raiders for real? No answer. No answer at all. He doesn't even want to acknowledge it's happening.
Yeah, I'm going to say give me a break. Come talk to me after Thanksgiving, and yeah, we'll see if that statement is still true.
Okay.
We can bounce back.
The Seahawks will miss the playoffs.
I'm going to go give me a break. I don't see it happening. I mean, I know they had a tough loss this week against the Titans, but you have Russell Wilson. You're always in the game. And, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, three of those teams out of the NFC West make the playoffs, because it looks like at least three of them are going to deserve it, if not all four.
Yeah, I'm going to go give me a break as well. I do have some worry about their defense, and then also about, you know, it just seems like their offense can't slow it down. It's just all hit big play or nothing, and I do worry about that. But I think, yeah, it's kind of hard to knock them out of the playoffs at this point.
All right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a tier of their own atop the NFC.
I'm going to say make no mistake. We'll have a chance. They'll have a chance to prove it this weekend against the Rams. But I think they're by themselves in a tier on their own, the entire NFL, not just the NFC.
I'm going to say give me a break, because I might eat my words after this week, but I think this is, I think the Rams are the one team offensively and defensively that can at least compete, because they're deep. I mean, they have two players that are, I mean, Aaron Donald is easily the best at his position, and Jalen Ramsey is arguably the best at his position, or at least one of. Mm. And just starting there, I mean, they have a lot of talent. They have
Cooper
a lot of talent.
Cooper Kupp playing out of his mind.
Cooper Kupp is a monster, and I hope that people respect him. He his yards after the catch, he's like George Kittle. He just does not go down. It's crazy. And Stafford seems to have picked that out and figured it out. And he, you know, it just, you can tell Stafford he's just making it look so easy. It looks like he's just toying with defenses now that he has like all these new toys to play with. So I'm not quite sure that the Bucs are there. I think the Rams might be up there with them. I still think the Bucs are ahead, but I don't know if they're in. I think that the Rams could be in the same tier, but we'll see this week.
All right, my last one is the Jaguars are the worst team in the NFL.
Oh boy, I think it depends on your expectations, because I didn't expect much of the Jaguars this season. I thought maybe 5 wins they could squeak out, and they still could. I'm going to say, give me a break. I think that the Lions or the Jets are going to be worse at the end of the year. I really do.
You know, you said the Jets, and that kind of threw me off there. But I'm going to say, I completely forgot about the Jets. But I'm going to still say, make no mistake.
Most people do.
The Jaguars just look terrible to me. I don't want to make excuse. You know, I know that he's a rookie and the Jaguars are not good, but I don't want to hear this talk about generational talent and then hear excuses about why you're not performing. Either you're the best player we've seen in the last 20 years and you're going to immediately show that, or you're not the best player we've seen in the last 20 years. And all I heard for the last 3 years is how Trevor Lawrence is going to come into the NFL and be the best player we've seen since Andrew Luck. You don't get these type of guys all the time. He's a generational talent. I have not seen that at all.
Well, keep in mind, Peyton Manning did set the rookie record for interceptions his rookie
and touchdowns in the same year.
And he turned out pretty well. So
that's fine.
I would say, you know, and they do have a decent team. I mean, it's not the best team in the world, but you know, James Robinson, we saw he didn't do great this week, but he had a pretty good year last year. I mean, they do have DJ Chark. They do have Marvin Jones. They have some talent there. I think it's just going to take a little while to kind of gel and for Urban Meyer to kind of get accustomed to what playing and coaching in the NFL is like.
So that's true.
I think at the end of the year, I think that the Detroit curse is going to, or the New York Jets curse is going to outweigh the.
Last word on this Trevor Lawrence, like, I don't think that Zach Wilson is in a much better spot than Trevor Lawrence is as far as talent around him. I don't think that Mac Jones is better in a worse spot. And they basically looked about the same. Like, I haven't looked at Trevor Lawrence like, wow, he's just way better than Mac Jones. Like, I haven't seen that. So I would have thought I would saw that by now.
Well, I mean, if you flip their positions, I think Trevor Lawrence might be a little more, he might be doing a little bit better in that position. But,
maybe.
You know, you get the cards you're dealt, so. I'm going to give you a bonus one real quick. Just last one. And this is sort of a look ahead. Make no mistake, you're going to be a break. Deshaun Watson will end up starting for the Dolphins, Colts, or Texans next season.
Next season. Oh. Next season.
Or by the end. Well, because I don't think he's going to start for the Texans.
Dolphins, by the end of this season. Or Texans. So only one of those three teams.
Yes.
I'm going to say give me a break just because I think I'm just not 100% sure he's actually ever going to play in the NFL again. So,
I think you might be right. I think those are the front runners, but yeah, it's a little scary. But it just made me think of it with Tua's injury, Carson Wentz's injury, and then Tyrod Taylor's injury. It's kind of like, well, it's just so ironic that the Texans now are looking around, going, "Who can our quarterback be? Hey, what's up, Sean? How you doing? Oh, you good? Okay, yeah, we're gonna go have Davis Mills start. Enjoy your $10 million bench seat." All right, so that's it for Make the Mistake or Give Me a Break. A pretty quick episode this week. We're going to do it's time for week 3. We have to go through our weekly picks, so let's get to it. Or first, I guess, how did we do last week?
Last week, let's just put your money where your mouth is. This is our weekly picks against the spread. Yep. And I continued my trend from last year of being just terrible at picking against the spread. I picked the Rams to cover -4.5. They only won by 3 over the Colts. So that brings my record to 0-2. You, on the other hand, picked the picked the Texans to cover +12.5 against the Browns, and they lost by only 10. So they covered your record, and make no mistake or give me a break, is 1-1. My week three pick, where I'm going to get going, I'm going to get my win here. I'm going to get it going. I'm taking Carolina -8.5 over the Texans. I know that we just saw the Texans beat the spread before, but now they're going to be down to their backup quarterback who has never played before. And the Carolina Panthers just look amazing on defense. It's a short turnaround for the Texans, too. This has a blowout written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly in the cards. This was a hard week. I was having real trouble with this. I know I bounced around a lot. I settled on the Raiders, and this is all courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. We get our lines from. I took the Raiders -3.5 home to the Dolphins. So Dolphins +3.5. I'm taking the Raiders -3.5 at home. And that is because, Tua is a question. Tua in the game is still a question mark. Obviously, if Jacoby Brissett is playing, I feel even better about the Raiders. And it's still early, so pre-Thanksgiving, the Raiders seem to surge. And so I'm kind of riding that train. And even though the Dolphins' defense is good, you know, Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, I think are good. But there's no real answer that either one of those guys has for Darren Waller. So I think the Raiders are riding high, and I think they're gonna win. So, give me the Raiders.
All right, I like it. So our weekly picks. I was 9-7 in week two, which is not great, but not bad. You were 11-5 in week two, which is very good. Oh, yeah. Your current record is 17-15. My current record is 15-17. So you are in the driver's seat for both. Make your mistake and give me a break, and weekly picks.
But let's put your money where your mouth is.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Put your money where your mouth is. We have some different things here. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. So let's go ahead and get to our week three picks.
So I'm just gonna pick all of the same teams you pick from this point for the rest of the season, and I'll win the bet.
Make it the most boring segment.
Actually, it still would be the worst segment in radio history. Some of those shows will remain nameless, but. I'm not going to do that for record. So let's make some picks. And this is just straight up win-loss.
Yep, straight up win-loss here. Panthers at Texans, Thursday Night Football.
Panthers.
Yep, that's an easy one. Chargers at Chiefs. Against the spread, this might be tough. But
yeah, it's got to be the Chiefs.
Yep, Chiefs. Cardinals at Jaguars.
Ugh, Cardinals. Although, watch this be the game.
Yeah, yeah.
No, give me the Cardinals. I'm not doing it.
Bears at Browns. It's an interesting one here.
Ooh. I'm going Browns.
Yeah, I think I like the Browns here too. It's an interesting one, but you know,
without Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I don't expect the Bears to score much. I think that's really what it boils down to.
I think Miles Garrett against a rookie in Justin Fields is going to be not great for the rookie.
Washington football team at the Bills.
Wow. I guess, yeah, give me the Bills. I think that's going to be.
Yep, Bills are the team here. I think we're going to be in agreement here. Colts at Titans. I've got the Titans.
Yeah, it's got to be the Titans. Because, I mean, is it Jacob Eason? Like, I don't.
Even if it was Carson Wentz, I'd be.
Yeah, it'd be harder, but yeah.
Here's an interesting one. How about the Saints at the Patriots? I'll tell you just straight out, I'm taking the Patriots in this one.
I mean, talk about a Jekyll and Hyde team. Two of the best coaches in the world.
Yeah.
You know, rookie and Mac Jones versus a Jekyll and Hyde, Jameis Winston. Man. Give me the Patriots.
All right. Let's write it down here. We have the Falcons at the Giants. Battle of 0-2 teams.
Somebody has to win, right?
Somebody's got
to
win.
Can I pick a tie? Can I tie?
If you pick a tie and it's actually a tie, I feel like you should get 2 points somehow. But if you lose, you lose 2 points. I don't know.
Wow. They're at. Wait, who's home?
Giants.
It's at the Giants?
Yeah.
Give me the Giants.
I feel like the Giants' defense is a little bit better than what we realize, so. Bengals at Steelers. This is a tough one because I feel like the Steelers are not quite as good as I would have expected them to be. Not that I thought they were going to be great, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the status of TJ Watt. I don't know if he's going to be. I didn't see anything about him being out this week, but
I read that he's expected to play in week three, or there's a chance that he plays in week three. So I probably going to be one of those where it's questionable all the way up till
game time. Yeah.
I think I'm still taking the Steelers here.
Yeah, I think just by virtue of, so Ben Roethlisberger has a 24-7 record against the Bengals. So I think just by virtue of his mental superiority, where he just expects to win, and the Bengals just are like, ugh, this guy always kicks our ass. I'll go Steelers. I think they're going to be angry and they want to kind of get some revenge after losing last week.
And I've already taken the liberty of picking the Ravens for you over the Lions, but just to confirm that, unless you're feeling
yeah, right. Yeah. The Lions have to win a game, right?
Do they? I mean, they have won 0-16 before.
Not this one, but a game maybe.
How about the Jets at the Broncos?
You got to go Broncos.
Yep.
It has to be.
We haven't had any changes. I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last week where I decided to change it just for the sake of changing and ended up losing a spot. So, Dolphins at Raiders. I've taken the Raiders here.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, they were my put your money where your mouth is, so they better win.
Here's one that'll separate the men from the boys here. Buccaneers at the Rams. And I'll tell you right now, I've taken the Bucs.
It's at the Rams?
Yep.
Man. I can't pick against Brady. I can't. Give me the Bucs. Ugh. I can't wait for that game.
Seahawks.
What's a more exciting game, real quick? With the Bucs playing the Rams this week or Tom Brady going to the Patriots next week?
Well, Bucs against the Rams. It's if the Patriots were still good, then I will say this though. Wouldn't it be crazy if like Bill Belichick had like some secret sauce or something, and he just knew how to the entire time how to stop Tom Brady?
Yeah, I think that's gonna be fascinating. That chess match is gonna be crazy.
I still this one's way better to me.
Yeah, but I agree.
Seahawks at Vikings.
I think this game is going to be better than everyone expects it to be. I mean, the Vikings have kept it close. I'm a little worried about Dalvin Cook, so I'm going to go Russell Wilson to pull it out at the very, 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 very end, probably with a touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett. Excuse me.
So this is our first difference. I've actually taken the Vikings here. I went back and forth. I feel like the Seahawks haven't looked great. Neither have the Vikings. Dude, it's just at home. I feel like it's just one of those games to kind of have a feeling about.
Yep.
We'll see if my feeling's correct. All right, Packers at 49ers, Sunday Night Football. I've gone and taken the 49ers. Surprise, surprise.
Oh boy.
Now, the Packers look great against the Lions.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you and I would look okay against the Lions. It's not a great litmus test for greatness. I think I'm going to go with the Packers just because Everett is out. Their top corner is out for the Niners. And, you know, Davante Adams looked like he was getting back on track. And the fact that, I mean, we're down to, I think you're starting running back for the 49ers this week. So, you know, Raheem Mostert, who just bludgeoned the bejesus out of the Packers in those playoff games, I don't know who's going to be running the ball because, I mean, the Niners seem like they can run the ball over the Packers, but if there's no one run the ball, how can they run over the Packers? So I guess I think Aaron Rodgers is – I think he's going to get a little revenge.
I've got – yes, I already took the 49ers. Packers could easily win it. There's so many narratives there. I just
–
49ers first game at home for the season. I like this as a setup for them. And then finally – the Eagles at the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. The floor is yours. I'm not even going to tell you who I'm
taking. Yeah, just, I mean, give me the Cowboys. I can't. I
got the Cowboys too.
I think after this last week, I think the Eagles kind of looked a little bit exposed, and the Cowboys looked like they had a little bit more resilience than maybe we gave them credit for. So I'll go Cowboys at home.
All right, that's it. The only differences we have are Seahawks and Vikings and Packers and 49ers. So I can either tie you or you just take a commanding four-game lead.
That's good. Go me. I'm going to root for myself. So, all right, that's going to do it, I think. This has been Season 2, Episode 21. For the very last time, go to iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker.audio, anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us there. Rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think. We appreciate the feedback. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at The Bench Warmers Podcast, at The BW Pod on Twitter, or go to TheBenchWarmers.com for all of those things and more. So that's going to do it. For Jose Ortiz, I am Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.